This is Classical IPR, a service of Interlochen Center for the Arts.
Mezzo-soprano Isabel Leonard and guitarist Sharon Isbin recently released a new album on Bridge Records called Alma Española. The album features art songs by Spanish composers including Federico García Lorca, Manuel de Falla, and Joaquin Rodrigo. Many pieces on this album have not been recorded in over 4 decades. I'm Amanda Sewell, and I recently caught up with Sharon Isbin, who is at the Aspen Music Festival, to talk about the new album, how she went about creating new arrangements of some songs for this album, and about how her close relationship with the composer Joaquin Rodrigo affects how she performs his music. Sharon Isbin, welcome to Interlochen Public Radio.
It's a pleasure to join you, Amanda, and I'm thrilled to talk about the new CD, Alma Española.
Well, this new album is the first album of Spanish art song with a guitarist and a native Spanish-speaking singer in over 40 years. Why do you think there's been such a gap in that period of time?
Well, when you think about this music, it's all inspired by the guitar, even though most of it was written and penned originally for keyboard with voice, so that it's like coming home, and there's a certain intimacy that is experienced when you bring the guitar and the voice together on the stage or in the recording studio. Why has it taken this long? I have no idea, but it's I'm thrilled to be able to work with Isabel Leonard, who's one of the premier singers of our time, and her mother was Argentinian, so she grew up in a household where Spanish was one of her first languages. So this music is a natural to her, and she was thrilled to revisit, for example, the Siete Canciones Populares Españolas, the Manuel de Falla songs, revisit them now with guitar, which is the inspiration, really, originally for them.
And the majority of the songs on this album are brand new arrangements that you've created.
Well, when you have storytelling, it's important that both the singer and the instrumentalist are very much in sync about expressing the meaning of the words and the images and the spirit and the emotion that is happening. And because ballads are often repeated in different stanzas, it's important not to just become pedantic about that and repetitive, but to actually infuse each new stanza with the character and spirit that the singer is communicating. And that wasn't really happening in the previous arrangements that were available of the García Lorca songs. So Isabel and I, when we began to work together in 2014, we've been performing now for 3 years, and this is something that has a very intimate quality to it. So for us, as we began the rehearsal process before the very first concert, which happened to be at the Aspen Music Festival, Isabel would say, look, this is what I'm saying right now and expressing. Can you do this on the guitar with some kind of loud strums? And can you change the rhythm? Or can you make this very sharp here? Or can you go up a high an octave? Because this is where the young man who has gone off in search of a wife instead ends up finding his long-lost sister. So this is the voice of Rosalinda speaking in the high octave. Or can you give the flamenco spirit of the Sevillanas de Sillo of Lorca, one of the songs, the popular songs, or La Tarara? So I would listen to folk performers do this music. I also listened to García Lorca himself in a 1931 recording that he did with a famous Argentinian singer, La Argentinita, to get inspiration. Lorca never wrote down these songs. So that's a good thing in that it gives me the freedom to explore them on my instrument in a way that's idiomatic.
With these new arrangements, then, are these things that you wrote down and then played from your own notation, or are these things that you and Isabel just sort of worked out in a performance context?
Eventually, I did write them down, and sometimes in my own shorthand, but it is something that I certainly want a record of for myself so that I can continue to reproduce that when we perform live. And we really had the luxury of not making the recording until we'd been on the stage performing for 2.5 years. So that meant that not only in rehearsal, but in being road tested, this music, and the arrangements would evolve and change over time.
So the centerpiece of this album is the set of songs by Federico Garcia Lorca. And I think people are most familiar with Garcia Lorca as a poet, but he was also a composer. And you created all new arrangements of these songs for the album, which, as you said, was different from the other pieces because Lorca didn't write down his music. So how was the process of arranging the Lorca songs different from the process of arranging music when you actually had the composer's score available to you?
Well, for example, the Manuel de Falla songs, written in 1914, De Falla was a good friend of Lorca and, in fact, offered to hide him in his cellar of his home in Granada when Lorca realized he was on the hit list of Franco. Unfortunately, he turned down Granada's offer and he was murdered. So we lost him in 1936. But the De Falla songs had already been arranged for guitar by Miguel Llobet, and then further revised by the guitarist from Spain, Emilio Pujol, and then I further revised them as well. So that was a different kind of process than starting from scratch with the Lorca. When you look at the Monsalvace songs, it was Isabel's suggestion that we do the Cinco Canciones Negras. And to me, it felt as if there were really only two of those that would be workable on the instrument. So I chose Canto Negro, a very fast song about a drunken fellow that's very rhythmic, and the Canción de Cuna, which is a lullaby and very sensuous and ethereal. So again, these were arrangements that I did from never having played them before, but inspired by the piano version.
And you listened to those recordings that Lorca himself made of the songs. What was that like?
Well, you can even hear those recordings of Lorca dating from about 1931 on YouTube with La Argentinita, famous Argentinian singer. And she added castanets to the mix, which is intriguing, but not necessarily something that we wanted to do because you get a little bit distracted by the constant sound of the castanets. But it was really nice to hear that because it communicated that flamenco feeling that he wanted in these popular folk songs.
Were there any songs on the album that you found particularly complicated to create an arrangement of?
I would say that the most challenging for me was probably the fast Monsalvace. So it lasts about a minute and a half, but I can't tell you the dozens and dozens and dozens of hours I took to arrange and then learn it because it's a real finger buster there. But again, it's idiomatic for the instrument and works. So that's the ultimate reward, and it's exciting to play as well. Joaquin Rodrigo, he penned for the guitar, and it's inspired by the beautiful adagio from his famous Concierto de Aranjuez, which I, of course, recorded with orchestra, including the New York Philharmonic. And the slow movement adagio was his salvation when he and his wife lost what would have been their first child when she miscarried and then went on to become very ill herself. Rodrigo would come back from visiting her at the hospital every night, unable to sleep. He'd console himself by playing this beautiful adagio theme. She recovered, and they went on to have many decades together. I met them in 1979 when both Victoria Camjia, his wife, and Joaquin Rodrigo tracked me down after hearing a live radio broadcast of the Concierto de Aranjuez as a winner of the Reina Sofia competition in Madrid. They invited me to their home. He showed me the Braille machine where he would compose. He'd been blind since the age of three. They were both pianists. She would often take dictation. We became friends for the next 20 years. So that was a really special joy. And Rodrigo's daughter, Cecilia, gave me permission to do the very first recording of Aranjuez Ma Pensée, which Victoria Camhi penned the lyrics for in 1988 using the theme from the famous adagio. And the first recording I did of that was with Suzanne Menser, and now revisiting it with Isabel, another great joy.
So there's a very deep personal connection for you with the Rodrigo piece.
Absolutely. And to be able to visualize their personalities, having known them, wonderful spirits, it is really, for me, a joy. I've been to the gardens of the Aranjuez. This is where they walked hand in hand after their marriage. And it's all infused with the essence and yearning and longing and nostalgia and jubilation and joy and perfume of the Spanish soul, which is the English translation of our title of the CD, Alma Española.
The album also has Manuel de Falla's 7 popular Spanish songs, which he originally composed for voice and piano. And I have to ask, the liner notes say that this piece was composed by Manuel de Falla, transcribed by Miguel Llobet, revised by Emilio Pujol, and revised again by Sharon Isbin. That seems like a lot of cooks in the kitchen, as it were. Can you talk a little bit about what role each of you played in transforming the Falla songs?
Well, the major role was certainly done by Llobet and Pujol, and my revisions were much smaller just to capture some of the more accuracy of the original keyboard version. So when you listen to something like Polo, the very last one, that's the one most steeped in the spirit of flamenco music with a lot of the strumming, and it's about betrayal. I curse on love and I curse on the one who made me feel so wretched. So it's a song that really ignites the fire of your heart. And then you have something very beautiful like Nana, which is a lullaby, or El Paño Moruno, which tells the story of a cloth that has lost its value. Of course, that's all metaphorical because it has a stain. And you can hear the guitar essence in all of this.
What's coming up next for you?
What's coming up next is I'm going to be touring with the Pacifica Quartet in the 2017-18 season. We're doing an all-Italian program with music of Castelnuovo Tedesco, Vivaldi, and Boccherini. And we began our collaboration here also at the Aspen Music Festival. This is a very fertile training ground.
Yes.
Because that's where Isabel and I gave our very first concert. And we'll be returning in 2018 to perform here. I'm also going to be giving another world premiere. I've had more than, at this point, a dozen guitar concerti composed for me by composers like John Coriano, Christopher Rouse, Aaron Kernis, Tan Dunn, many more. And most recently, 2 years ago, Chris Brubeck, the son of Dave Brubeck, wrote a very inspiring and fun and delightful jazz-inspired piece called Affinity for guitar and orchestra, which I've been playing a lot most recently here in Aspen and also with Leonard Slatkin. I did the world premiere with Elizabeth Scholes in the Maryland Symphony. I hope to record that this next season. But I'm also going to be doing a world premiere by a Spanish composer most people have never heard of. And this will be in Colorado in the spring, in Enrique Palomar. So this is something I look forward to, and there will be certainly many other diversions along the way.
Well, we look forward to hearing about them and sharing them with our listeners. The new album is called Alma Española, and it features mezzo-soprano Isabel Leonard and guitarist Sharon Isbin. Sharon Isbin, thank you so much for taking the time to talk with us here at Interlochen Public Radio.
Thank you. A joy to speak with you this morning.